Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode here on the 5571 podcast. My name is Danny, and this is a podcast all about what's new and what's happening at the Design Resort. And this week, we're going to go into, of course, all the latest and greatest news about what's new and what's happening, but we're also going to go into a little bit more of a deeper dive topic surrounding the hotels around the Disneyland Resort, the Good Neighbor hotels. We've touched on this in the past. I think I've talked about it in the past with Mondo from Five Fires YouTube, but I kind of wanted to do an updated list. I was thinking just a few episodes ago about how Disneyland already debuted its entire slated schedule of events for 2024, but not only that, we also got all of the After Dark events for 2024, at least the ones that they've cared to announce thus far, which is quite a few, actually. And then on top of that, we also know that D23 is coming right around the corner also in August. So there's a lot going on in the Anaheim / Southern California Anaheim Resort area. And there's going to be a lot of reasons to be booking a hotel. And not everyone can afford or wants to stay on property at the Disneyland Resort. So our Main Street topic this week is going to be covering a lot of that, my recommendations on which ones I think are good and why, and kind of which ones are better for which. Like which one's better for D23 when it comes to the convention time, and which one's better for the parks, or what's kind of like best of both worlds, as we get into that a little bit later. But for now, let's get into the news. And if you listened to my dreadful episode last week, I want to thank you guys for sticking along with me in that one. I had just come down with actually COVID for the first time. I've never, ever have gotten COVID, if you can believe that or not, during this entire pandemic. Almost went 4 years without getting it. And that was my first time actually getting it and testing positive and everything. And it definitely took me out. I was out for like 3 days solid of like not doing anything. And I think the night I recorded the podcast last week was like one of my first nights being sick, and I was doing way too much, way more than I should have. I sounded terrible on the podcast, as you know. But thank you for those that listened anyway and continued to share and send any comments and concerns and stuff over. So I appreciate that. But I'm feeling much better this week on my road to recovery. Still not like a super 100% yet. But as of today, I'm actually like exactly one week out from, testing positive. So I'm definitely within the window. I think at 10 days, if I do go out in public, I don't have to wear a mask according to CDC guidelines. So you can go out after 5 days, I think the current guidelines were, and then 10 days without a mask. And that'll be this Thursday. So on Friday, I'll be good to go. And I do have a reservation to the parks this weekend. So I'm going to see if I can make it out there if I'm feeling up to it. But as you know, if you guys have been following me as well on Five Fires YouTube on Speculation Sunday, I still have been making it to Speculation Sunday even through all this. But I was supposed to be moving. I'm actually moving a little bit closer to Disneyland Resort, actually. So it'll be a lot easier for me to get content and cover some more things. But I had to cancel my move last weekend because of being sick. So that's been rescheduled to this weekend. So I'm going to be doing moving and a lot of other things. So we might be adjusting some of the dates for different episodes and things like that, but I'll keep you guys informed on Twitter and also on my Instagram story, so it's connected in all ways. But I want to thank you guys for sticking along. It's a crazy time, right? It's the end of the year, the worst time to be moving, but it's the reality of the situation for me. And it's also Christmas. There's passes being blocked. I'm moving. I got sick. It was actually my birthday yesterday as the day I'm recording this. So a lot going on in the month of December, at least for me anyway. So I'll be ready and happy once the new year is here and upon us and we're going into things like Lunar New Year Festival, because I'm going to be ready to leave all this behind. But starting off first with the news, last week we talked a lot about that big schedule of events that Disneyland dropped for the 2024 season. It was the first time I personally had ever seen a schedule like that, where Disney shared with us every single event, as far as like the Lunar New Year Festival, the Food and Wine Festival, and all that stuff, and all the different dates of those completely 1 year in advance. Well, a little bit later, actually, just after that, Disneyland also shared the Disneyland After Dark events schedule, which also is something they kind of keep tight-lipped, right? They did share with us on the last release with the 2024 calendar year, the Halloween season, right? We know Halloween season is going to be starting early in August, at the end of August, actually. And they did also mention that Oogie Boogie Bash will be coming. So we knew that's one After Dark event that's going to be returning. But people were wondering, what about Sweethearts Night? What about Star Wars Night? They wanted to buy tickets. They wanted to know what was coming. They wanted to know if Pride Night was coming back. They wanted to know maybe if we're bringing like a new Christmas party or something, or maybe that beloved 80s or 90s nights come in, maybe something new in regards to 2000s. Well, we got an announcement for all the After Dark events that are coming in addition to the ones, in addition to Oogie Boogie Bash, I should say. So the first After Dark event for the 2024 season is going to be Sweethearts Night. So people can rejoice if they like Sweethearts Night. That's actually going to be coming back to Disneyland, and it's going to be at Disneyland Park per usual. So you got that fireworks to end the night, which is perfect for Sweethearts Night. And people that really liked this event are going to love the fact that now it is being offered for so many nights throughout 2024. In fact, it's going to be offered in January and in February. So lots of opportunities for you to be able to go to this event if you didn't get to do it last time. It's an extremely popular event for guests that are just like casual visitors at Disneyland. It's a great locals event for people that only want to come to Disneyland every once in a while. They really do like the fact that the attractions have low wait times at the end of the night. I think the people that come that want to do the specialty things like photo opportunities and character meet and greets, they might not like this event as much because the lines for those things are just so long. But you heard me talk about more dates, right? So the first date of Disneyland After Dark Sweethearts Night is going to actually be January 23rd. They're going to offer January 23rd, 25th, and the 30th. And then when it comes to February, it's going to be the 1st, the 6th, the 8th, the 12th, and of course, Valentine's Day on the 14th. Now, tickets for Disneyland After Dark Sweethearts Night start at $139 plus tax per guest. There's going to be nights that are more expensive, like Valentine's and other days during the week, but for some of the nights, you can get as cheap as $139 plus tax. Now, a lot of the kind of bullet point breakdown for the evening is pretty similar to the way it was in the past. You've got a cavalcade with, royal princesses. You have the dance-along kind of like club area over by Small World with the princesses and stuff like that. They're going to have special meet and greets, of course, with different characters that you don't normally see. Those opportunity to get in those unique photo backdrops for different kind of romantic scenes from different movies. And of course, lot lower wait times on different attractions throughout Disneyland, and it is at Disneyland Park, so it's going to be a lot of attractions available for you guys during this event. Pretty much almost everything is available during these After Dark events. There's very rare occasions for different attractions that aren't open and aren't available, so definitely consider that. And of course, they're going to have specialty treats only available during this event. They specifically talked about having like a shortbread cookie churro with strawberry cheesecake dipping sauce. They're going to have Cafe Daisy's going to have heart-shaped ravioli that's deep fried. They're going to have favorites at Jolly Holiday Bakery like this chocolate and strawberry stuffed croissant. So lots of kind of chocolate, strawberry, Valentine's themed things, right? And of course, there is the fireworks show at the end of the evening, which is what kind of everyone looks forward to. Now, tickets go on sale for this event actually today. So if you're listening to this podcast the next day, tickets have already concluded as far as the sale for Magic Key holders, or you might be able to still buy it, I think, if you log in and check. But beginning December 12th, which is the day I'm recording this episode, basically, anyone with the Magic Key holder up until the 14th of December or until they decide to stop selling them will be when it goes on sale for the public. So if you're listening to this episode and you're a Magic Key holder and you wanted to buy tickets, definitely log in. Try to buy tickets if you can. Just go to Disneyland.com. Make sure you're already logged in when you've gone to the website. And then when you're on the Disneyland website, search Sweethearts Night. And it should pop up and there should be an option that says select tickets, where you can pick the day that you want to go and then buy your tickets. If you are logged into your account, which has your annual pass registered, it should let you buy those tickets already. And then if you're not an annual pass holder and you want to buy tickets for this event, you can purchase them on December 14th, no earlier than 9 a.m. Pacific time, and you'll be able to join a queue system, if it's needed at that time, to purchase tickets for the event. So keep that in mind if you're interested in going to Sweethearts Night. It's right here, right now, as far as buying tickets. So this is one of the first events happening right after the holiday season, so it makes sense that they're already selling tickets. Then the next After Dark event that Disneyland offered is going to be a brand new event they've never offered before, and it's something that we've been asking for, at least for me, right? One of the most popular After Dark events, in my opinion, was Disneyland 90s Night. That was a lot of fun, had a lot of 90s music. They had 90s Disney Channel references, 90s afternoon Saturday afternoon cartoons, all that kind of stuff. It was an awesome night. Loved it. Then they did an 80s night, which a lot of people loved. I personally didn't go to 80s night, but I kind of wished I did. But it looked like a lot of fun. Also retro throwback to a lot of older movies, old cartoons. But we also wondered, hey, are we going to get an early 2000s, like a late 90s, early 2000s Disney Channel era, right? The height of the Disney Channel era when they had Hannah Montana, High School Musical, Camp Rock, The Descendants, which is, I guess, a little bit later in the 2000s, Teen Beach Movie, Lizzie McGuire, Cheetah Girls, all that stuff. Things that really just were its own cultural phenomenon for the generation that grew up with that on Disney Channel. Well, I always thought they would implement this like with an early 2000s night, okay? Well, that actually didn't happen in that way. It's actually just called Disneyland After Dark Disney Channel Night. That's the new event happening in 2024. And this one, just like Pride Night was last year, is only two nights. So you only have 2 days to choose from. You have March 5th or March 7th. Both are weekdays, and they're both the same price. So Disneyland After Dark Disney Channel Night is going to be $139 depending on which day you pick. So it's going to be the same price no matter what. And the description for this event is as follows. It says, get ready for this all-new nostalgic celebration as Disneyland After Dark Disney Channel Night comes to life, highlighting themed offerings from favorite Disney Channel shows across various eras of programming with fantastic music, memorable characters, high-energy parties, unique photo opportunities, and more. Join in on the fun. Fellow Disney Channel fans with great offerings, including a High School Musical pep rally, which Disney California Adventure has had this before, and I wonder if they're still going to bust out that old float and do that again, because that would be really fun, actually, to see that relived in the park. They're going to have a Phineas and Ferb dance party, which they did at Disney California Adventure too. That's really cool. That's going to be over in Tomorrowland. They're going to have Camp Rock karaoke and Disney Channel trivia over in the Golden Horseshoe. They're going to have a Descendants sort of like sing-along on the sailing ship cruise Columbia. That's going to be super popular. I know a ton of people love the Descendants movies, so that'll be going on the riverboat as it goes around the rivers of America. So that'll be, and on the sailing ship Columbia, that's definitely going to be a high ticket item for people that are going to the park that night. And then there's also going to be special photo backdrops for different Disney Channel movies and shows, including Lizzie McGuire, The Cheetah Girls, Teen Beach Movie, and much more. They're also going to have specialty food snacks all evening long. A few items to expect are a mini banana burrito, tropical banana punch at Red Rose Tavern, chili cheese loaded nachos, and s'mores donut skewer from Cafe Daisy. Additionally, they'll have specialty dining packages available as well, too. And just like the Sweethearts Night, the Disney Channel Night tickets already went on sale. So if you listened to this podcast episode when it first came out, they went on sale yesterday for Magic Key holders. And just like the Sweethearts Night, on the 14th, they're going to be going on sale to everyone. So December 14th, no earlier than 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, they're going to be going on sale to everyone. All tickets are $139 plus tax. There's no annual pass discount, Magic Key discount, anything like that. You just have access to purchase them early. I purchased tickets for that first night of Disney Channel Night. I'm super excited to check it out and see what it's all about. This seems definitely right up my alley for sure. A lot of retro throwbacks, great memories with this one. So I'm excited to experience it and see it. If you are an annual pass holder, like I mentioned, just make sure you're logged into the Disneyland.com website. Search Disney Channel Night, and just like the Sweethearts Night I was telling you about earlier, you'll be able to click select tickets, pick the night you want to go, and then purchase those tickets. But if you're listening on December 14th, if you're trying to do December 14th, which is the main purchase, you're going to do the same thing. You still want to make sure you're logged into your Disneyland account, even if you don't have an annual pass. And then you're going to join the queue to purchase tickets, which you can do by simply going to Disneyland.com, searching Disney Channel Night, and then just like I mentioned before, you'll have the option to select tickets, and it will automatically join you in a queue. I think you have to type in one of those little CAPTCHA things to prove that you're not a robot, because they have been having a problem lately with these After Dark events, with bots purchasing tickets and then them being sold on like Ticketmaster and stuff like that. So I think Disney is trying to combat that this time for all their After Dark events, so that people who actually want to buy tickets and are actually coming and not resellers will be able to buy these tickets moving forward. So that's two of the four events that Disney has offered for 2024. And again, Sweethearts Night, January, February, Disney Channel Night in March of 2024. And then, oh, and I forgot to mention too, Disney Channel Night takes place also at Disneyland. So that's Sweethearts Night and Disney Channel Night happening at Disneyland. So far, no After Dark events in California Adventure other than just Oogie Boogie Bash so far. Then we also have Disneyland After Dark Star Wars Night returning to Disneyland. Also, just like Sweethearts Night, it's going to be bringing with it a ton of dates that are going to be for this event. So it's starting in April, on April 16th, and it's going to be available on April 16th, April 18th, April 23rd, 25th, and April 30th. Then in May, it's going to have May 2nd, May 7th, and May 9th. There's actually no After Dark event for Star Wars Night on May the 4th. So interesting, thing. I think it's just the way that May 4th fell this year. They don't want to do an event on that night and close Disneyland early, right? But they've got May 2nd. That's the closest day to it. And then May 7th right afterward. So not a lot of details they gave us for Disneyland After Dark's Disneyland or the Star Wars night. So it's probably going to be pretty similar to previous nights, but keep in mind there is going to be a brand new extended season of the Force happening at Disneyland during this time period. And with that, they're introducing brand new destinations on Star Tours. So if you've never been able to experience new destinations on Star Tours before, and you don't have a pass to Disneyland, you don't go regularly, and the Star Wars night's going to be one of your only nights going to Disneyland, it's going to be a perfect night for you to experience one of the new destinations on Star Tours, and a perfect time to do it because there's less crowds to be waiting in line for that. A lot of people, granted, are probably going to want to ride Star Tours during a Star Wars night, but if you wait at the perfect time, you might just get a pretty easy walk-on for that. So keep that in mind. There's so much to do, though, at Star Wars night. I don't think I'm going to be repeating this one this year because I've done it twice already. But I love Star Wars night. It's a lot of fun. I just can't afford to be buying all these tickets for all these After Dark events. And Disney Channel night is new, and I want to try it out. And lastly, the last event that Disneyland announced for 2024 is Pride Night. So Disneyland After Dark Pride Night is coming back, and just like in 2023, they're doing two nights only. So in June, which is Pride Month, they're going to be doing June 18th and June 20th at Disneyland Park. So again, two nights for you to pick from. And it's not available yet, or it's not known yet exactly when you'll be able to purchase tickets for this particular event. They just told you to kind of keep an eye on Disneyland.com or the Disney Parks blog in the coming months to see kind of when these tickets would go on sale. But for right now, we don't know just quite yet kind of pricing or anything in regards to that because it's not listed just yet. However, it did say, the little blurb on it just says, last year, Disneyland After Dark Pride Night came to life for the very first time, and it's back in 2024 with entertainment, colorful characters, photo ops, and more. on two spectacular evenings in June at Disneyland Park. It says stay tuned for on-sale dates and additional details for Disneyland After Dark Pride Night in the coming months. So I'd imagine as we get closer to June, they'll probably share with us when kind of tickets, what tickets are going to look like, what the event itinerary is going to be, but I would imagine it's probably pretty similar to last year. And this was a really popular event, and everyone who went loved this event. So if you had FOMO last time, maybe consider this one, right? This one is definitely a big, huge party in the whole park. So a lot of people really enjoyed that. Short wait times on the attractions, the community of it all, the happy people everywhere. So lots of really fun costumes. So there we have it. We have our 4+1 with Oogie Boogie Bash Disneyland After Dark events. These are the ones at least they've announced so far. We don't know if they have anything hidden up their sleeve with any extra After Dark events, but for now, Disneyland is going to be hosting 5 different After Dark events this year, and I'm excited they're giving us one brand new one that we haven't had before. We did lose things like Villains Night. We don't have the Reunion Night or the Grad Night coming back, so they did replace those with that Disney Channel Night, and also by offering additional nights for things like Sweethearts Night, which was definitely requested, and then additional nights for Star Wars Night, which does also sell out as well. So what do you think about all this? Are you guys excited for any of the After Dark events? I think $139 is a pretty good price for that entry-level period of going to some of the nights on Sweethearts Night and, of course, Disney Channel Night. It's not a bad price at all, I don't think, especially if you're using that as one of your only nights to go to Disneyland. If you are an annual pass holder, though, you might have to weigh your pros and cons and see, is this really worth it? Is this something I would really get, entertainment value out of? I just felt like seeing something like the High School Musical pep rally returning to Disneyland Park for the first time since, gosh, I don't know what year that was that disappeared. I thought that was a really cool thing to see brought back, right? Like, it's like a bit of history coming back in the park, being performed once again. So couldn't miss out on that one, had to check it out. So you'll definitely be seeing and hearing coverage from me on that particular night. And of course, Oogie Boogie Bash. I don't know about the others just yet. Like I mentioned, I don't really wanna shell out a ton of money on all these things, especially since I got D23 coming up. And we're talking about that a little bit later as well too. There's a lot of tickets to buy this upcoming year in 2024. So we're gonna have to budget and save for a lot of things. So things like Pride Night, Sweethearts Night, and Star Wars Night, just not on the roster for me yet, but we'll have to wait and see. So we talked a little bit about this next news topic on the previous episodes, and I think also we mentioned it last episode as well too. We talked about the Haunted Mansion and how there's a potential that the Haunted Mansion would be closing after the holiday season with its Haunted Mansion holiday current layover being closed for the entirety of the 2024 season as they work on that brand new outdoor expanded queue area and the exit gift shop, as well as that new kind of reimagined grounds around that outdoor queue. So a lot of exterior work happening on the Haunted Mansion. There's also rumors too that they're going to be reworking the way that disabled guests access the attraction as well, with potentially a new entrance for that on one of the different sides of the Haunted Mansion. So a lot of exterior work and things that need to be done. So it would imply that, you know, Haunted Mansion would be closed for quite some time. So the rumor was that Haunted Mansion would close after the holiday season concluded, and it would remain closed for the entirety of the year, reopening once again for the Halloween season next year, which, as we know, starts on August 23rd, and would reopen, obviously, since it's Halloween season, again as Haunted Mansion Holiday, leaving the regular Haunted Mansion version not available technically until the 2025 calendar year. So we don't really know just quite yet if that's true. However, our good friend Scott Gustin did share on Twitter, he got a comment from a Disneyland spokesperson that the Haunted Mansion Holiday, as it is right now, is going to be closing on or having its last day on January 21st. So a little bit of an extended run, right? The holiday season at the Disneyland Resort does end on January 7th. Get my days wrong here. So January 7th is the last day of the holiday season at the Disneyland Resort. I would imagine that that would be normally when the Haunted Mansion would close. But if you remember last year, Disneyland did this too. They did a little bit of an extended run for Haunted Mansion Holiday. I think it was available until like basically the end of January last time as well too. So they're doing a little bit of copycat of that last year as well. So Haunted Mansion is going to have a little bit of an extended run. So past the holiday season, it'll stay up and remain as is through January 21st. And then on the 22nd, the attraction will close and they will begin work on all of that stuff. The only thing that worries me about all this is supposedly we're in for El Nino this year, and we're supposed to have even more rain than we did last year. And as you know, last year's rainy season really kind of destroyed, or the year before actually, really kind of destroyed Mickey's Toontown and the construction that happened there because of just how much rain delays there was. And I have a feeling that the more and more they delay this Haunted Mansion, it's getting closer and closer to the wet weather season, where we're supposed to be having the worst rain ever, and most of all this work happening at Haunted Mansion is all outside. It's digging up cement. It's making sure the dirt is dry and ready to receive a brand new cement. So there's a lot of work that's reliant on us having dry weather, and it's just not happening this year, at least according to the forecasting, right? So I don't know if we even get Haunted Mansion on time. There might be some severe delays again because of weather. We'll have to wait and see. We're going to keep fingers crossed and hope for the best with this one. Scott did, when he did confirm when it was closing, he did mention that the Disneyland spokesperson would not yet provide a reopening date for Haunted Mansion or a timeline for that work that's being done on the grounds to update that queue, add that gift shop, etc. They probably don't want to commit to a specific date, especially after what happened with Mickey's Toontown. I'm sure they're probably aware of the wet weather that's also forecasted this upcoming rainy season too. So I think committing to a date would be a wrong thing for them to do and then having to push that back. So at least for now, I think it's safe to assume that some of those rumors potentially could be true for the Haunted Mansion, and that we can expect to probably not ride or experience the regular version of Haunted Mansion until the conclusion of the holiday season for 2024. So we're going to get Haunted Mansion Holiday next Halloween season as early as August 23rd, if it's ready to go by then, and then it will continue on through Halloween into Christmas, and then beyond Christmas until the holiday season ends, where it'll finally lose its Haunted Mansion Holiday layover and become the regular version of Haunted Mansion. So for those regular Haunted Mansion stands, you might have to wait just a little bit longer this time to experience the attraction. But either way, I'm really excited for all the proposed changes that Disneyland announced in August of this year for all of the different things coming to Haunted Mansion. I think it definitely needs a new exterior queue that can hold more people, so they have to have less of that rope situation going on just outside the train station. They added some more dining space and like a park space in between that and Tiana's Palace. The gift shop at the exit is very needed. They've always had stands there selling different Nightmare Before Christmas merchandise, so it'll be nice to have a dedicated shop just at the exit of this attraction. And then, of course, if the rumors are true in regards to new disabled access for the attraction, that would be a welcome change because as it stands now, disabled guests really don't have a place to queue up. They kind of have to wait off to the side. They have to ride the stretching room elevator down, and then when they're done with the attraction, ride the stretching room elevator back up again. So it's not exactly the easiest kind of route for disabled guests that need that access to stay in their wheelchair. So providing a new access, exit, entrance, potentially on the train station side, would be a welcome change and much nicer to have their own dedicated entrance and exit. So hoping that is true too, but lots of changes come into Disneyland, a lot of construction going on. That's going to be a big high construction area, not only with Haunted Mansion, but Tiana's Palace or Tiana's Bayou Adventure attraction still under construction for the rest of all of 2024 next year, right next to it. So there's going to be a lot of walls in this space starting as soon as you leave Tiana's Palace restaurant. And our last topic about Disneyland before we transition to Knott's Berry Farm for something going on over there is going to be with the hotels of the Design Resort. So if you ever stayed at the hotels of the Design Resort, whether that's the Grand Californian Hotel, Disney's Paradise Pier Hotel, or the Disneyland Hotel, you're probably familiar with those H2O Plus beauty products, right? That's a big staple for a lot of people staying at the Design Resorts, hotels, or even the Walt Disney World Resorts and the cruise lines. They love these H2O Plus beauty products, the shampoo, the body wash, the conditioner, the bath soap, all those things. They love those products. In fact, Disney would sell full-size versions of these products inside the gift shop because people wanted to take them home. They loved using them. Well, unfortunately, a couple years ago, I think during the beginning of the pandemic, H2O Plus announced that they were going out of business. They were bankrupt, going out of business, and no longer going to be a business anymore. So everyone was like, oh no, I'm going to buy as many bottles as I can of this H2O Plus stuff and stock up because I really, really like it and enjoy it, and I want to continue using it. People were wondering who Disney was going to pick next for their vendor, for all the in-room kind of amenities that they offer. However, they just had a 2023 DVC Condo Association meeting, and actually DVC News reported about it on Twitter. I think Scott Goosen also reported on it as well too. But Allison Armour, the VP of Resort Operations, has said that Disney actually acquired the rights to the formulas that H2O Plus would use for their bath products, and they're going to continue to produce those products under the Disney Resorts brand and offer them on their hotels, cruise ships, and other destinations. So a fun little news tidbit there. Disney has actually saved the H2O Plus products. They're going to continue producing them using those same formulas that they had acquired the rights to before H2O Plus went out of business. So people need not fear. They'll still have those same scents that they've come to know and love at Disney Resorts. They'll still continue to be offered, so don't worry about it. If you bought those extra bottles, I guess you've got the final H2O Plus branded items, because they won't be branded with H2O branding anymore. It'll just be a Disney Resorts collection. So pretty cool that it's still sticking around. I know I love the scents of this stuff, the sea salt, the sea marine. So what do you guys think? Are you excited about this? Let me know with a DM or a comment. And lastly, for our news segment, Knott's Berry Farm actually shared a brand new concept art video for a completely reimagined Camp Snoopy at Knott's Berry Farm for the 2024 Knott's Berry Farm summer, next summer. So they're going to be opening this on Memorial Day weekend, which is the same weekend that Disneyland announced they're going to be reopening the Fantasmic show after it's been on its hiatus. So Camp Snoopy, if you don't know, is going to be the kids-friendly, family-friendly area of Knott's Berry Farm. Very popular, and in my opinion, not that dated and old, but they feel there's a lot of changes they want to bring to this space, make it a little bit more family-friendly, potentially offer some much-needed brand-new attractions. So they're going to be reimagining some things. They've taken out other things, but they've really brought a brand new cohesive look to Camp Snoopy to really give it that camp feel, right? That log cabin campy feel. They're going to be doing a lot of new additions, new attractions like Snoopy's Tender Paw Twister Coaster, which if you knew the coaster that was in Camp Snoopy before, this is a welcome change. They're going to have a brand new off-road rally attraction, which is kind of like where kids can jump in an off-road vehicle and kind of go around an Autopia-style track. There was an existing trucker ride that was already there. That's going to be taken out, and they're going to be redoing it with these off-road vehicles. There's going to be a brand new swing attraction. They're going to be kind of redoing that space with the waterfall inside Camp Snoopy. Lots of things coming through. They're redoing the train, actually. I think it's called like the Sierra something train inside Camp Snoopy. That was a lot of fun. They're actually going to be redoing that, and it's going to become an electric train actually now, and it's called the Beagle Express. And it sounds like they might be doing the same track that was already there, maybe expanding the track a little bit. But for the most part, a lot of the things are staying the same, just being reimagined. They are adding a brand new Camp Snoopy Theater, which is going in the same spot, but is going to be much bigger and have larger facilities that are completely covered. So it's, you know, protected from the rain, protected from the hot summer nights or summer days. So the, you know, performers and guests alike can have shade. They're also going to have some attractions that people love, like Woodstock's Airmail, Stick Around, and reopening in a new area of the park. And then they're going to be reimagining some of the gift shops that were already there and in existence at Camp Snoopy to brand new themes, etc. So this is going to be, again, all opening on Memorial Day weekend for 2024, the summer season. It's looking pretty good, in my opinion. Knott's has been killing these re-themes of their land. The Fiesta Village remake was really, really great. They did an excellent job on the re-theme of that and bringing some cohesive theme so everything went together there. And Camp Snoopy, I already thought was a great area of the park and probably one of the prettier as far as like natural elements, waterfalls, river areas, rock formations, but apparently they feel like there's some changes they want to make here. So we'll have to wait and see what they come up with, but I'm excited to see it. Do you guys like Camp Snoopy? Did you know about this? If you didn't, I'll go ahead and leave a link in the show notes for the press release so that you can read it over, see what it's all about. They also have some pictures in there that you can peruse to see some of the concept artwork that Knott's has released about some of this stuff. And I'm excited to experience it when it all happens. Obviously, I'm probably too big for a lot of these, some of these attractions, but I'd still love to walk through the area, experience the new cafe, see all the new spaces they're building, just take it all in. So lastly, for our Main Street topic, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Good Neighbor hotels surrounding the Disneyland Resort specifically, since not only do we have the entire slate of calendar events for 2024, we also have the After Dark events, which a lot of people need hotels for when they're staying for some of these events late into the evening, sometimes 1 a.m. afterward for some of these After Dark events. So they want a hotel to stay in, and people are going to be planning that in advance. And I really love the fact that Disney shared all these dates early, so people can get their plan on, they can start booking hotel rooms. I think this has always been a necessary change that they needed to do. Sometimes they're a little too tight-lipped on some things, and it doesn't allow people to make the necessary plans. And if they're trying to transition into a resort where guests can visit regularly as a tourist destination with something like Disney Vacation Club, they really need to be providing these dates far in advance, just like they do at Walt Disney World. So I'm happy to see it. I'm glad to see it. But not only that, this year we also have D23 Expo. As you know, it's coming back this year. They've dropped the expo name. It's just called D23. And it's going to be expanding its footprint now also out to the Honda Center just down the street from the Disneyland Resort Anaheim Convention Center. So not exactly something that you can walk to, that's for sure. It's definitely way too far to walk from the Anaheim Convention Center. You would have to have some sort of transportation, whether that's via a bus, an Uber ride, or yourself heading on over there. Something to think about, but that's going to be in August. So August 9th, 10th, and 11th, just before the Halloween season begins at Disneyland Resort, we're going to be kicking off D23, the Ultimate Fan Event. So lots of reasons to consider booking a hotel around the Disneyland Resort or even on property at the Disneyland Resort. But specifically for this episode, I want to talk about some of the options I like best for some of these. I think my best pick overall for both, or my best pick for something specific to D23 itself. Now, as far as Good Neighbor hotels, there's a lot of really great options. I've talked about this one before, but I definitely want to bring it up again because I think it's positioned in a really good way to not only still have walking access to Disneyland, but sort of a good in-between for not only Disneyland Resort, but also the Anaheim Convention Center for something like D23 Expo or just D23, right, now that it's called that. But that is the JW Marriott, which is on Clementine Street, just off of Catella Avenue. Now, this can be a pricier option, but I did want to mention kind of like that more top-tier option since people are looking for comparable things to like Disney's Grand Californian Hotel or even the accommodations they'll get at the Disneyland Hotel. And this is on that higher end with still the ability to walk to and from the parks, You can not only cut through the Garden Walk, which this hotel is attached to and is directly connected to via the lobby of the hotel, but you can head on out to Disneyland or Disney Way from the Garden Walk and then across the street to Disneyland Park. So that's an option for you there. Or if you wanted to cross the other direction to the Toy Story lot, you can actually just take a Toy Story shuttle in if you weren't interested in walking super far. So it's still a really easy ability to walk. You can get the hotel as low as the high 300s per 400 a night, depending on the time of year that you're going. Otherwise, on more of the popular times, you can see this hotel in like the 600-700s per night for different rooms. It is on the pricier end, like I mentioned, but the JW Marriott is the top-end brand of the Marriott franchises, right? All the different brands underneath Marriott. JW Marriott's kind of like one of their top tier. So you do expect really good accommodations, very good staterooms, really nice amenities on property, good service, all that kind of stuff. It is highly rated. I stayed here a couple times myself. Both times I paid for during the D23 Expo period. Never hosted or anything like that. So I would share that with you guys if I was never paid to stay at this hotel. I just really enjoyed it. I like the JW Marriott brand. I like just Marriott brand in general. And so this is one I definitely was excited to see come to the Design Resort area because of the status of that brand and really elevating something like this to offer an alternative to something like the Grand Californian for people that don't want to spend like $800+ a night at the Grand. So, which it can get to at some points in time. So this has a really great pool area, but like I mentioned, it's kind of positioned in a really unique place on this street called Clementine. If you've ever taken a Toy Story lot shuttle from Toy Story to the Disneyland main entrance, you're going to pass by this hotel. The bus route for the Toy Story lot shuttles goes right past this hotel on Clementine Street, and then it makes a left on Disney Way and goes right into the parking lot. So just as short as that shuttle ride is, this hotel is about halfway down that shuttle route. So that's about how much you'll be walking. It's right around the corner. It'll probably take you maybe 10, maybe 15 minutes tops if you're walking really slow and have strollers and things to push like that. There is no dedicated transportation to the Disneyland Resort for this hotel because of how close it is. You can get an Uber if you want to, but it's a very short Uber ride right around the corner. You're probably better off if you don't want to walk strictly on the street to cut through the Garden Walk and out the Disney Way side of Garden Walk. And then you literally just have a few feet to walk past the Anaheim Hotel and across the street to Disneyland Resort. So not too far of a walk. Like I mentioned, there's lots of great accommodations here, great amenities, and it's positioned in a way where not only can you walk to things like the Toy Story lot, but you can walk to Disneyland Resort. And the reason why walking to the Toy Story lot is another potential plus for D23 is that on the other side of the Toy Story lot, if you cut through it, you can actually pop out directly in front of the convention center space. So it really positions the JW Marriott in a great space for convention center access if you don't want to spend the money on something like the Westin, which is right on the hotel or right on the convention center property and probably a lot more expensive per night than something like this hotel would be. By the way, I wanted to let you guys know, as far as D23, and again, that was August 9th, 10th, and 11th, they still have the D23 room block available on the ultimatefanevent.d23.com. You can actually book your Good Neighbor Hotel or your Disneyland Resort Hotel in their discounted room block for the upcoming event this summer. This is actually a pretty good discount, a very heavy discount, right? Disneyland, or this D23, since they're taking such a large chunk of the city of Anaheim for this event, they are usually offered a slate of rooms from every single participating hotel that are blocked at a discount because of the guarantee of all these guests coming and booking rooms, right? So it's a way for them to kind of negotiate that in setting up the event with the city and getting these discounted rooms. So they share that with D23 members, and you don't have to be a gold member. You just have to go on the D23 website. Even if you're just a regular free member or whatnot, you can click the link to Good Neighbor Hotels. And I checked at the time of recording this episode, there's still some Good Neighbor Hotels available to book on that website. It's going to take you to a website where you can see all the different hotels available in the area that are participating. And like I mentioned, there's another link specifically for the Disneyland Resort hotels. But it takes you to a landing page. You're going to pick your check-in date for that August month and your checkout date, and it will let you know the discounted rates. I actually was able to book the Westin Resort. So the Westin Resort, which is the hotel right next to the convention center on the Catella side of the convention center. I've always wanted to stay there. That's a pretty new hotel that just recently opened. It was on the room block under discounted rooms, and it was my second choice. I really did want to stay at the Hilton, which, as you know, if you've ever been to the Anaheim Convention Center, is right there. But it actually sold out almost immediately when these rooms went live. When this was first announced and the room block went live, I jumped on there, but everything sold out right away with that had two queen beds, and I'm sharing the room with people. So it a king bed was not enough for what we needed. So I actually ended up booking the Westin, though, which was a blessing in disguise because I've always wanted to stay there, and it was an excellent price. I think it was like 40% off. So some of these room discount blocks that they're offering are really great. So check it out. If you are planning to go to G23 and you want to book a hotel, this is going to be the best way to do it, unless you have some other discount or points available that you want to use. This is going to be it. And definitely book sooner rather than later, because D23 will sell out all of the hotels in Anaheim, especially since the footprint for this event is growing much bigger. I would imagine that the hotels around the area are going to be strained as far as availability. So sooner you can book it, the better. When you're doing this room block under the G23 room block, you don't have to come up with the entire cost of the stay at the time of booking it. All you have to put down, I believe, is the first night of the stay. So if you don't have all that money to front right away, you can put the first night down and then pay off in chunks the rest of your stay if you're planning on doing it. As of right now, on a side note, we don't even know when D23 tickets are going on sale, but it's nice to have your room ready to go so you know that's taken care of. So we talked about the JW Marriott, which is on the higher end of the hotels around Disneyland Resort, and it's also one that can be positioned really great for not only the convention center, but Disneyland. This next one is more specifically a recommendation for just guests visiting the theme parks, Disneyland Resort specifically. I have personally stayed at this hotel for D23 Expo on two different occasions, and it worked out excellent for that. But it's not exactly something that's easy to walk to and from the convention center space just because of its location. However, if you're going to the theme parks, it is perfectly and amazingly situated as far as where it's walking distance, and that is the Howard Johnson or the Hojo Anaheim. And the reason why I recommend this one is because the rooms and the accommodations are really, really amazing at this hotel as far as space, bedding, just everything that they offer, the pool area, the grounds, the easeability of parking your car if you have a car, if you're renting a car. Lots of spaces, great room and accommodations. The beds are awesome. Can't say enough good about this hotel, and you can get it for as cheap as like $149 a night. So there are some really great nights, and discounts available on like Priceline, Kayak, booking.com. All of those different discount websites. You can find some really great deals for this hotel. You can find great deals for this hotel on their website as well, just going to hojoanaheim.com. They do have, I don't know if they have any rooms that haven't been renovated yet. There was a period of time where you could ask for like a renovated room in the tower, and then the other kind of surrounding hotel rooms hadn't been renovated yet. But I believe at this time, almost all, if not all of them, have been renovated. So you do get better views from the tower rooms. But I think any of the rims position themselves really great at the Howard Johnson. And like I mentioned, the combinations are really good. It definitely has the Disneyland Hotel-ish vibes to it as far as decor. It's got that retro modern, mid-century modern vibe, that old retro Tomorrowland feel in all the rooms. It definitely gives you the vibe that you're staying on property at Disneyland as far as the room accommodations, even though you're not. So I really enjoy this one. Clean rooms, clean bathroom, great space, lots of things to spread out with in your rooms, especially if you're getting some of those tower rooms or the rooms that have the vaulted ceilings. That's really nice. So definitely add this one to your list for Disneyland Resort. It's located on Harbor, so it's just a quick walk down Harbor to the Disneyland main entrance on Harbor Boulevard. And it's, like I said, you can get it for as cheap as, like, I've seen it for like $149. I'm literally looking at it right now from Google for $149. So it can be pretty cheap. You can get, I think, as high as like $300s, $400s for this hotel, depending on when you're going. So if you're going during a peak season, you're probably going to get expensive prices at any of the hotels, including this one. But this one can be pretty well valued as far as price. So check around, search a lot of different places, but Hojo Anaheim is my pick for one of the better hotels near Disneyland. And lastly, I kind of wanted to give an option that was a little bit bigger, right? People that need more space, people that want a full kitchen, they want to do some cooking in their own room, or they want to have the space to be able to like make a quick breakfast or have a full-size refrigerator to pack with water bottles and different foods and snacks that kids need that they want to have available for the family. Sometimes that's just not available to do in a tiny little small mini fridge in the room, and they want that flexibility to do that in their hotel room. Well, that is where something like the Residence Inn for the in the Marriott brand comes in handy, and there are a few options for these, but I'm going to specifically talk about the one directly next to the Anaheim Convention Center. I feel like this one is better placed not only to visit the convention center, since it's literally attached to it on the Catella side of the street, but it's literally just a crosswalk trip away to the same side of the street as Disneyland's on, and then just a little bit further walk down, maybe like 5 to 7 minutes down Harbor Boulevard to get to the main entrance slash security area of Disneyland Resort. So not that far of a walk. As far as pricing goes, I'm seeing right now live on Google for this hotel, prices around $250, $280, $300, $330, depending on when they're wanting to go. These are bigger room accommodations, right? You're going to have a full-sized kitchen in these rooms with a stove, with an oven, a dishwasher, a sink, dishes, a full-size refrigerator, a microwave. It's basically like an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment. So every room is like a one-bedroom apartment. So it has that full kitchen. It has that dining space. It has a living room area that has a couch that pulls out into a full-sized sofa sleeper. And then there's a bedroom that can be shut off from the living room that usually has either one king bed or two queen-size bed in it with a bathroom. So there is pretty big accommodations in these rooms, and you can get even bigger depending on what you want. They do have free breakfast included at this hotel too. It's really, really good. I've stayed here before during D23 Expo. There's a rooftop pool at this hotel. Lots of great accommodations. Like I said, breakfast is included with the hotel stay. Parking here is not free. It is pretty limited too. It's only available in a shared parking structure with this hotel and I believe the Spring Hill Suites. So it's not super available depending on when you're going. I've stayed here during D23 Expo and parking was pretty limited and tight. So leaving during your stay can make you lose a spot and have to go all the way up to like the roof or something. So you got to keep that in mind at this hotel. However, as far as walking distance, like I mentioned, it's a really quick walk across the street to Disneyland Resort and an even faster walk to the convention center since you're literally right next to it. It's on the side of the convention center where the dome is located on Catella Avenue, and it's literally directly next to the convention center space. Right next to this hotel is the parking garage for the convention center space slash those extra convention center rooms that they put up there on Catella. So literally right next to it, right in the thick of it all. and pricing wise puts this hotel like a mid-tier option, and also a really great option for people that need more space. So we have a high-end option, the JW Marriott, great accommodations, but it is just a luxury hotel room, basic hotel room. You're going to have a small mini fridge, maybe a microwave in the room, or if not in the room, maybe you can request one through housekeeping. But it is just a regular hotel room. Then we talked about our budget option for the Howard Johnson Anaheim, next to Disneyland, really great deals at this hotel. Also, great space and accommodations, but there's typically not a large kitchen space in this room either. However, they do usually have microwaves in all the room, which is really nice because not a lot of hotels do that, but this one definitely does. And they have like a really cool coffee station and like kind of a nice little kitchenette area. So probably more than what most hotels offer, but again, not a ton of space as far as that those extra home amenities. And then lastly, the Marriott Residence Inn, specifically the one listed at Anaheim Resort / Convention Center. There is another Residence Inn that's around the corner, sort of behind the parking structures at Disneyland. I don't like that one. That's not a good option. And a lot of people, you would be shocked actually how many people book that one and think they booked the one on Catella next to the Convention Center. It happens all the time. When I was staying there, so many guests were walking into the lobby of that hotel to check in, and then were being told, actually, you booked the one next to the post office behind the parking structure of Disneyland. So that one's not in the best area of Anaheim, and it's also not a close walk to Disneyland. It's a lot farther of a walk. The included breakfast, I didn't feel that that one was very good compared to the others, although the rooms are still really nice. So, but this one specifically I was talking about was the Residence Inn by Marriott and Anaheim Convention Center, or Anaheim Resort / Convention Center. You're going to know it's the right one because it's the one on Catella Avenue. But those are my three picks for Good Neighbor Hotels covering different categories. I hope maybe this helped you think of some options when you're booking your stays for the 2024 holiday season coming up, all the different events we're going to be having, the After Dark events. We've got Lunar New Year Festival, Food and Wine Festival. So if you're planning to come on any of these trips and you're an out-of-town guest, think about these hotels if you haven't stayed at them before. Maybe branch out outside the hotels of the Design Resort and see and step in the waters of these other hotels to see what they might have to offer. At Disneyland Resort, it's a little bit easier than something like Disney World Resort because a lot of these hotels all are within walking distance and truly offer some hotel accommodations and amenities that are even better than the Design Resort hotels. Although there are some perks, obviously, right, of being a Design Resort hotel guest as far as like early access and things like that. However, some of these hotels offer such great amenities and accommodations, it sometimes makes up for that. So wanted to talk about those. We might dive into a few more of these in the future as I also try a few more of them as well and we get closer to things like D23 where we might be talking about this a little bit more. But I do hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the 5571, a little bit longer of an episode. So thanks for sticking with me if you've been here the whole time. If you haven't already, go ahead and hit the follow button, subscribe button, whatever on this podcast so you can make sure you get every episode in your inbox or in your listen now section. You can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me on all the different social things just by searching Just Ask Danny. Not only that, on YouTube channel as well too, that way. And then also, if you wanted to send an email to the podcast with your voice memo or a question or a concern or a comment, feel free to do so by emailing me at danny@justaskdanny.com. But I want to again thank you for listening to this episode, and we'll see you soon on the next one. Have a great week, everyone.